Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad my wife is here with me today. It's always a joy to represent the Lord Jesus Christ, to see what he's doing in the lives of people. Bumi has been very, 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 very helpful. And this our visit wasn't meant for you here. It was for me. I came for the birthday ceremony of our mom, who is 70. And because Bumi has been close, we communicate from time to time. So he felt, okay, if I'm coming, I should come and stay with them. And he hijacked me from Fumi. So Fumi has come to pick me today. But the other thing is around being hungry. Because when you are hungry, you are looking for how you can be fed spiritually. I remember my start in the Christian race. The first time I had Brother Paul, I just knew what I'm looking for was in him. So he didn't know me, and I started looking for how do I connect with this man. And I made effort until I was able to link up with him. So the other time we were talking, and I told him, even though you didn't like the way I left the New Covenant, and I didn't leave to hurt you, but the point is, the story of my life cannot be written without you being there. Because he has invested so much in me. I count myself very blessed. And I like to bless people, so I want to bless you today from the things the Lord has blessed me with. Because following the Lord is a journey. There is no way you can come to a place in following the Lord and think you are there. So it is in my search and my seeking that took me from New Covenant as a body, but not New Covenant of the Lord. Because the New Covenant is a body that is worldwide, not a denomination. And I'm part of that. And I'll be part of that until Jesus calls me home. Amen. And I always honor those who have blessed me. I won't be where I am today if I wasn't linked properly with Brother Paul from the beginning. So he fathered me. And I do believe that there is nothing the Lord will achieve in me today that a part of it will not go to him spiritually. But I'm still seeking. And I'm still hungry. The Lord is showing me different dimensions, but there is more. Because there is no end in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to share some of the things he has burdened me with today with you. Because one of my challenges these days is, it's not that, what do you say to people? But my greatest challenge is, what does the Lord want me to say to you? Because when you grow in the ministry like us, you have materials. You can tap on anything and say anything, and people will be blessed. But my greatest challenge is, what is the thing the Lord wants me to say to this group of people? And the passage the Lord gave me, which I'm going to leave for you, hopefully, you can develop it yourself. Because when I'm shown certain things, I don't know everything. So I will drop it in your spirit, trusting you will be able to move on with it. In Psalm 78. Psalm 78. Verse I'm going to read from verse 9 to 11. Okay, let me read verses 1 to 3 first, and then I'll pick it up from verse 9. Psalm 78. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. In verse 9, the children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law and forgot his works and his wonders that he had showed them. And then I'll read 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 1. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts today. Amen. In Psalm 78, the expression, the children of Ephraim in verse 9, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle, is an expression that reoccurred in what the apostle says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, not to receive the grace of God in vain. Those of you who are students of the Bible, you will realize that Ephraim wasn't the one to be blessed when the big papa in Genesis chapter 48. And I would need to look at that briefly for you to see why the Lord is saying what he said to Ephraim here, that he was carrying bows, but he turned back in the day of battle. In Genesis chapter 48, if you look at that briefly. Genesis chapter 48, you look at verse 8. And Israel beheld Joseph's sons and said, who are these? And Joseph said unto his father, they are my sons, whom God hath given me in this place. And he said, bring them, I pray thee, unto me, and I will bless them. Now the eyes of Israel were dim for age, so that he could not see. And he brought them near unto him, and he kissed them and embraced them. And Israel said unto Joseph, I had not thought to see thy face, and lo, God hath showed me also thy seed. And Joseph brought them out from between his knees, and he bowed himself with his face to the earth. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand towards Israel's right hand, and brought them near unto him. And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hands wittingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lad, and let my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. And when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, it displeased him, and he held up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head unto Manasseh's head. And Joseph said unto his father, not so, my father, for this is the firstborn. Put thy right hand upon his head. And his father refused and said, I know it, my son, I know it. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great, but truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations. And he blessed them that day, saying, in thee shall Israel bless, saying, God made thee as Ephraim and as Manasseh. And he set Ephraim before Manasseh. Now, this is the beginning of Ephraim. This time, Ephraim was very young. Very, very young. And I'm discovering in following the Lord that the Lord will keep certain things in you, but he will keep visiting it. So at this younger age of Ephraim, the Lord invested something in him. And what was the thing that the Lord invested? Did you notice it as we read? What was it the Lord invested in him? What? I'm asking you, please, talk to me. What? Blessing. Blessing. But more than blessing, he put the name of his father, the name of Abraham and Isaac, he put it on him. And sometimes when the Lord puts some things in you, in me, we think it's for fun. I'm glad today the lady led us in Psalm 103. And Psalm 103 highlighted some of the blessings the Lord has put upon us. He did this, he did that. So the same thing with Ephraim. An investment was given him. But everything the Lord gives is for trade. When he invested something in us, he invested it to go and occupy with it and make more with it. But unfortunately for Ephraim, when the Lord was ready to make use of what he has invested, Ephraim wasn't ready. Ephraim wasn't ready. And what I'm sharing with you today, I'm sharing with my own heart, whether I'm actually making use of every investment the Lord has put in this life. I shared with you how I began and how the Lord led me to somebody who could father me, who could make a lot of things happen in my personal life. And I served. I did serve him, and I'm still serving in ways that I know God is being honored. But even in the midst of this, I'm checking, am I making the maximum use of this investment? And where I want you to think seriously is, are you, when you look at your life, when you look at what you are doing, when you look at your situation and the opportunities the Lord has given you, are you making the full use of this investment? Now, notice in Genesis chapter 48 what the father did here. The Bible says he crossed his hands. And that is the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the expression there is that he crossed his hands. And what the cross does to us, the cross crosses our will. And the will of Joseph here was crossed. And he expressed it. He didn't hide it. And every time the Lord invests, he invests through the cross. He will do something that will cross your life so the blessing can come to you. And in this particular place, the Lord was demonstrating that every blessing he brings to people, to you, to me, is going to be through the cross. And it is the cross that brought life to us. It is the cross that brought salvation to us. It is the cross that brought us to a place where we can say, Jesus indeed is God. So Ephraim received this blessing and he just continued his life. And I want you to think, those of us who probably the Lord brought you to this country through so many means, either by the right means or by the wrong means, but you are here. And you are here, the Lord is investing and showing mercies to you in various areas. But he's reminding you today that the investment he put in you is not for nothing. And you don't know the day the Lord is visiting. For example, Ephraim didn't know the day the Lord was going to say, this investment is also for battle. So in Psalm 78, let's go to that. In Psalm 78, the Lord now come and say, it's time to battle with these that I've put in you. Psalm 78. And when the Lord came to Ephraim in this place, he said in verse 9, the children of Ephraim, what happened to them? What's the next expression there? What happened to them? Being armed. What does it mean to be armed? Huh? To be ready for battle. Now, please notice the expression, he didn't arm himself. He was being armed. He was prepared for this particular day. And then the expression also says, and what did he do again? He carrying bows to be shot. And when you are armed and you carry bows, that means you are ready for battle. You should just strike. But the Bible says he turned back in the day of battle. Why? They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law. Each time I fail in the battle, it has a reason. And each time something is overtaking you to look at things that God is not doing, there is a reason. Because there is no challenge that will come to us in life that the Lord Jesus Christ has not provided for. I cannot use problems of life to say, this is why I'm not doing what he's asking me to do. I can't use that. It has no legal backing. Because the problems of life, the challenges of life, are the things he died for on the cross. And since the assignment comes through the cross, and the blessing comes through the cross, I can always trust that what he promised to do, he will do. He will do. When I first came to Britain, there were challenges that the adversity just brought to me. And I was thinking that time that I was going to die. I just knew something was going to kill me. So I took insurance that time. I said, okay, if I die, I don't want my family to be suffering. So I took insurance. That time I was paying £31 every month. And I did that for 2 years. One day, after the 2 years, the Lord woke me in the night that you thought you would die. I said, yes. He said, but you haven't died. 2 years. And I've paid insurance for 2 years, £31 every month. And I just woke up and discovered that, look, the Lord who has kept me before I came and gave me the assignment is able to keep me forever. And here am I today. By that time, the fear gripped me. I was going to die. And it made me to begin to disbelieve God. And each time we disbelieve the word of the Lord, we are towing the path Ephraim followed. Please notice in verse 10 again, they kept not the covenant of God. You know, the covenant the Lord has with us is a covenant of life. And it's a covenant of blessing. And this covenant came to us again through the cross. And the cross cancels my will and establishes the will of God. So if I'm not willing to allow my will to be canceled, then I'm not able to do the battle at the right time as God wants me to do it. And you will remember also that what Ephraim enjoyed here is not just for anybody. Only the fathers can pass inheritance. Because what the Lord gave him was an inheritance that he didn't work for. He didn't labor for it. And the same thing Paul did to Timothy. And whatever the father has achieved, because he said it clearly there, that I'm putting the name of my father Abraham and Isaac on you. He didn't labor for that. Just given to him. And there are things the Lord has given to us like that we didn't labor for. Because we choose to follow him and we choose to walk in his covenant, we discover that he has put some inheritance into our life. Look, for example, Elijah passed an inheritance to who? To Elisha. Now, here, the Lord has used the father to pass inheritance to Ephraim. But it was not for nothing. It's for him to use and profit with it. So the next thing you discover in the life of Ephraim here is the life that is not stable anymore. And I'm learning afresh that when you miss certain battles the Lord wants you to fight, you discover you begin to live a double standard life. Once you miss the assignment is given, you just discover things are not going very well as you expect it to be. Because you are born for a particular assignment, I'm born for a particular assignment, and that assignment must be fought and overcome and display the beauty of the Lord. So I look at the book of Hosea. I saw some of the things that were not given us here about Ephraim. And I will encourage you to please make time to read some part of Hosea. Hosea is after the book of Daniel. If you will, just let's look at some points there. This is why Ephraim failed. And to me, it's a picture for me to begin to check my life regularly. Let's look at Hosea chapter 8. Have you seen Hosea? Okay, please come to chapter 7. Chapter 7. Look at verse 8 of chapter 7. Have you seen it? What does it say? Ephraim has done what? And then Ephraim is a cake not turned. How does a cake that is not turned look? Sorry? Half-baked. The please, when you have time, because this thing just came to me this morning, I couldn't do justice to it. I think you should take some time to look at Ephraim, some of the things that he represented in this place. And when you look at verses 8 to verse 11, you say, strangers, verse 9, have devoured his strength. Does that say something about us? Strangers have devoured his strength. What takes our strength away? Strangers. Please, what are the strangers? When we tell lie, that's a stranger. When we live a double standard life, stranger. When we are not as forthright as we should be, strangers. Or when we walk with, if you are men, you walk with women that are not yours, strangers. Now, this is what took the strength of Ephraim away. Strangers have devoured his strength. And look at the next expression. What does it say? He knoweth it not. Can you think of somebody like that in the Bible? That his strength was taken away and he didn't know. Samson. Say, ye, gray ears are here and there upon him, yet he knoweth not. And the pride of Israel testifies to his face. And they do not return to the Lord their God, nor seek him for all this. Verse 11. Ephraim also is like a silly dove without heart. They call to Egypt. They go to Assyria. That's lack of understanding. A silly dove. Ephraim didn't have a heart of understanding. And in everything the Lord will call you to do, has called you to do, please seek understanding. Proverbs tells us, in all our gettings, we should get understanding. Understanding of heart. To be able to know what the Lord is saying, what the Lord is doing. As I told you earlier, this journey is a journey that doesn't end. It's a marathon. And you can't know the Lord and say, yeah, I've known him now. I don't need anything. I'm seeking every day because the more he shows me, the more I realize I don't know. And I'm looking for ways to make sure I don't fail him. Because when the battle comes, who knows? Maybe this assignment I'm performing here this morning is a battle that he has assigned for me. You see, the point is, nobody knows when you are really doing the battle. Except you are forthright and you are following him in everything. That thing the prophet told to strike the ground. Did he know that he was going to strike the ground that will determine his battle? He didn't. If he had known, he would have continued to strike. So you don't know when you are really given the battle and you are doing it. You don't really know. That's why everything that comes your way, you are seeking understanding. Lord, is this you? How do you want me to do this? What are you saying in this? But Ephraim lacked that. And when you see a cake that is not turned, half baked, you will know that that cake is not, it doesn't have good taste. It doesn't have good taste. That means it's not cooked inside. And many of us, we are not cooked inside. We are cooked in the head. The cooking inside is what brings understanding. And understanding is what gives us the way to go. And I discovered that understanding can only come from God. Deuteronomy chapter 29. I want you to look at that also. Deuteronomy chapter 29. When Moses recounted the story of the Israelites, this is where I discover understanding can only come from God. If he doesn't give you understanding, you don't have it. Deuteronomy chapter 29. Let me read from verse 1 for clarity. These are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab, beside the covenant which he made with them in Horeb. And Moses called unto all Israel and said unto them, you have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt unto Pharaoh and unto all his servants and unto all his land, the great temptations which thine eyes have seen, the signs and those great miracles. Please notice verse 4. Yet the Lord has not given you a heart to perceive, and eyes to see, ears to hear unto this day. They've seen miracles. They've seen great signs and wonders. Yet, the Lord has not given them a heart to perceive, eyes to see, and ears to hear. So when we don't understand and perceive what the Lord is doing, then we need to seek the Lord. And you discover in some lives, the door of repentance shuts. Have you met a man who did something terrible and wasn't ready to repent? I've met them. I've met men who sinned against their wives and were caught and they refused to repent. Now, people like that, the door of repentance is shut. That is why when you are doing something wrong and you don't have a heart that is seeking and perceiving, something is shut against you. You need to cry, Lord, open the door of repentance for me. Because if you are doing something wrong, you are not seeing correctly, you are not living properly, and you are happy with it, what happened to the children of Israel here is happening. Moses was recanting and he was bold to say that though the Lord showed you this, yet he's not giving you a heart to perceive. So when you have a heart to perceive and you are broken down, it's a gift. And you should cherish it. Heart to perceive, eyes to see, ears to hear. And we need the Lord to bring that to us, to the body today, where we can perceive things that are wrong. And we can say, no, we are not going that way. But if you are living a lifestyle that you know is not good, nobody sees you, and yet your heart is just moving on, it's a curse. It's not very good. That's what happened to Ephraim. And Ephraim was unable to live a life that glorifies the Lord. And my prayer for me, for you, is that we will not get to this place where the grace of God is wasted in our lives. I counted myself as blessed. And I know if the Lord has brought you to a place where you are hearing the true word of God, you are blessed. You are blessed. I've gone around these days. You know, the Lord gives me different assignments. And you go to some places, they sing very melodious songs, but no presence there. And they don't know. They don't know. Because you see, this thing is not in music. It's not a melodious voice. Once you lack the presence, you lack it. It's flat. It's just flat. And it is those who perceive, they will know the presence is not in this place. And one of the greatest gifts I don't want to miss is the presence of the Lord. Because no matter what you do, no matter what you say, wherever you go, if you don't carry the presence, you can't even do the battle. That's what Ephraim lacked. The presence has departed from him. That's what Samson lacked. And he didn't know. And how many of our churches today, so-called churches, are doing what they do normally, but no presence. No presence. And they don't know. As long as the sand comes. Even in some of the buildings, they've done it in ways that the ray of light will bring what looks like the glory of God, artificial. When it's not there, it's not there. There's nothing you can do about it. And it's a time to make sure you seek the Lord and you find him so that the heart of God can be in what you do and he can be honored. He can be honored. Ephraim missed that. And I'm going to close with the New Testament reading. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In my opening, I read 2 Corinthians 6 to you. That's where the grace of God must not be frustrated. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10, this is the apostle again. He said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me, what's the next expression, please? Was not in vain. So what was the result of this? But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. You know, when I read this, the question I put to myself is, can I say that the grace of God upon me is not in vain? Can you say that? Can you say that, Lord, your grace upon me is not in vain? I'm maximizing every opportunity where I walk, where I live, every place I go, the business I'm handling. That's very crucial. And then the last place is Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. Verse 21. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. So frustrating the grace of God here is not to recognize the righteousness that Jesus died for and lived it. Because the grace of God makes my life to be righteous. I not only receive it from Christ, I'm demonstrating it in everything I do. And those are the things the Lord puts together in battle. Because as you read, the weapon of our warfare, they are not carnal. So he puts the life I live together in battle to bring glory to his name and assault the enemy. Ephraim failed that. And I do believe in this present time that we are living, particularly now that people are honoring what is not to be honored, the remnant of the Lord must be able to seek the truth and know that they are equipped like Ephraim. And when the Lord is calling them into battle, either where they walk or in their home as father, as mother, as brother, as sister, they make sure that the battle is fought and won for the glory of our Father. Please don't let us waste the inheritance of our Father. Don't let's waste it. We are invested with so much. So much. If you can see things spiritually, you know that the investment of the Lord is just so much. And what the Lord wants for us is to be in the place where we can father this coming generation. But if you are a person losing battle, you can't father this coming generation. You can't father them. And if you don't father this generation, we have lost. We have lost. Abraham came to this earth to give birth to Isaac. That was his assignment. So if Abraham died by delivering Ishmael, He failed. And each of you have assignment, whether you like it or not, because the Lord is counting on you. He has counted on me today to do this. Nobody else can do what I'm doing. So he's counting on you to do certain things. Nobody else will do it. You remember when Jesus had the disciples to pray when he was going to be crucified, and they didn't pray. You remember? Huh? So who did that assignment? Nobody. That's why the Bible says he was left alone. Huh? So when he gives you assignment, you don't do it. Nobody is doing it. It's just there. That's why the Ephraim story is a story you should revisit. And check yourself. Are you really doing the assignment the Lord has given you, fighting the battles and winning for him and for his glory? Because in that day, he won't ask you anything more than what he has given you to do. He won't ask me anything more than what he's given me to do. That's why every assignment he gives me, I want to be able to perform it to the glory of his name. So I call you today to please consider whether the grace the Lord has given you is being frustrated, is being wasted, or is being invested. So I'm praying for myself that I will not fail. Yeah. If I don't fail, then the children God has given me will not fail. But if I fail, the children God has given me will fail. The children are supposed to stand on our shoulders today and do better. And that's what I told James. I said, you are blessed because you can stand on my shoulder and do better. And every child the Lord has given you is supposed to be able to stand on your shoulders and do better. See better. Don't fight the battles that you're supposed to have fought and won. So if Ephraim didn't fight his battle, then his children will have to fight it. And Lord, I pray for myself, and I pray for everyone here, that we will not be in the category of Ephraim. Lord, call us back to our assignment. Call us back to our assignment. Let there be a revisiting of your call upon our lives. Let the angels do a job of going and coming today. Lord, perhaps we lie in bed and we are unable to sleep, that there will be the visitation of your angels taking us back, examining issues, opening our hearts, our eyes, to see the investment of the Lord. Lord, I'm praying that I will not fail, and none of those who listen to me today will fail you. We will be in the place where we are answering your call, and we are doing our bit. Some like wives, some like children, some like business people, that the light you've given us will not become darkness. Let it be our Father. And put your anointing upon us to carry out this battle in these last days. As many are failing, you will find your investment in us, and we will treasure it for you, and you'll be happy with us. I thank you. Please, as you sit there, if you will just pray for yourself briefly. I don't want you to just depend on my own word. I want you to utter some words to the Lord yourself. If there are things the Lord has communicated to you today, you feel, yes, I think I need to call this back. Just breathe it out to the Lord. Into your past a little bit, and just bring those things before the Lord, please, and allow His Spirit to just revive you and bring you to order.
In Jesus' name we have prayed. Heavenly Father, we pray this morning, O Lord, according to the words that we have heard, according to that which your Spirit has spoken to us this morning, that these words will not fall upon deaf ears. Heavenly Father, let your words sink deep into our spirit, into our hearts. Let it make a difference, Father, that the things we have heard, we will put to practice in our lives, that we'll find grace and mercy in your sight, that, Father, that ways of old, today, truly, as has been prayed before, will be a seminal day in the life of each and every one of us, O God. The blessings that you have invested in us, Father, may they be fulfilled till the very end. As you have shown us, because a blessing came to Ephraim, doesn't mean that that blessing is eternal without being kept by grace, without being kept by us seeking you, by us walking right before you. And so, Father, we pray, let not your word depart from our hearts. Let not your spirits depart from us, O God. Your word tells us that we should work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Also that it is you who works within us to do and to will of your good pleasure. Make us people who reflect on life and on their work with you, and make appropriate adjustments where need be, and not, Lord, presume upon your presence and think you are there when you have left. May our lives, Father, not be a story of yesterday's glory. May our testimony not be as used to be. But in pursuing you, Father, may we find fresh manna in your sight, O Lord. Daily speak to us. Daily call us into your presence. Forgive us of the things of the past. Let not the door of repentance shut upon us, O God. Father, revive our hearts. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.